In March, we're airing programs that were rated the best last year, and today's program is one of them.
This is a parent who, if you tell them, listen, smacking this child or, you know, announcing some sort of a vicious punishment actually does not help when a child is in that, you know, fibrillation stage. They go, no. When a heart is in fibrillation, you shock it back to, you know, no. Yeah, well, we need to add electricity to the situation. No, you don't. But for a rosebush to not step in guns blazing is really hard.
Parents are often on a mission to be a super mom or dad, but find that they never quite get it right. Today you'll hear the second part of a conversation with parenting expert Hetty Britz, as she really liberates moms and dads by showing that we can be supernatural parents by cooperating with God in the raising of our kids. We recorded this program a few years ago when we were about to hold a tour of parenting events around the country with Hetty, called Hope for Every Home. Let's go to that recording now.
Alison, you know, God created us all specially and uniquely. Mm-hmm. And because of that, we do things differently. We do life differently. We parent differently.
Yeah.
And at Focus on the Family, one of our major goals is to help parents in this awesome task of raising their kids. And we do want to offer tried and tested principles, but we also want to offer hope.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody knows your child like you do, and nobody loves them like you do. And so we do want to give parents confidence in their parenting and hope when they sometimes feel inadequate or like they're failing.
Yeah, and last time we had a brilliant discussion with Hetty Britz about the different parent styles and how each unique style reflects important aspects of God's heart. It's great to have you back with us, Hetty.
Thank you, Alison. Thank you, Grace.
Welcome back, Hetty. Well, we're going to be holding seminars around the country with Hetty, and the title of the seminar is Hope for Every Home, From Unnatural to Supernatural Parenting. And last time we spoke about the unnatural or natural part of parenting, but we don't want to leave it there because there is another part to the title, and that's the supernatural. But in our first discussion, we covered the different temperament styles,
mm-hmm.
And we spoke about the boxwood, and we spoke about the pine tree, and we spoke about the palm tree, but we didn't make it to the rosebush. So before we even move to the supernatural, we do need to just cover that aspect of parenting, the temperament of the rosebush. And we've been going through, what does it look like for mealtimes, and for when there's a meltdown, for math and school, and then on to marriage. Why don't you tell us about the rosebush and those areas?
Yes, I'd love to do that. The rosebush parent is a parent who's a natural disciplinarian. So they often forget that this mealtime is not about discipline. Mealtime is about nurturing. That you should eat and we should have a, you know, peace at the table so everybody has good digestion. And it's typically the rosebush who messes it up, because to a rosebush, everything's a competition. So when this baby doesn't want to drink or doesn't want to eat, it's a, okay, game on. You know, let's see who wins this one. And I love that even Dr. James Dobson said that the table wars is the war the parent cannot win. It's not worth going into the food fight. So very often this nurturing phase is just a major challenge to the rose, because it takes too much time, number one, and rose bushes are on the move. They've got stuff to do and places to go. So how much time it takes just to keep babies alive can be quite daunting to both the dad and the mom with the rosebush parenting style. And then meltdown to them. Now, that's a real war. So they step in with all the weapons they have. So this is a parent who, if you tell them, listen, smacking this child or, you know, announcing some sort of a vicious punishment actually does not help when a child is in that, you know, fibrillation stage. They go, no. When a heart is in fibrillation, you shock it back to, you know, no. Yeah, well, we need to add electricity to the situation. No, you don't. But for a rosebush to not step in guns blazing is really hard. So meltdowns for them is a sign of poor self-control. And they forget that this is a skill that grows over time. And that grows when a child has the support to say, you know what, I think you can stop crying. You know what, I think you just need to sit a little while and see that this is not effective. And then you learn a skill. So to step in calmly is tough for them. They can be a little bit explosive. And then to have that patience for the child to grow up. Because I think, I know I have a lot of rose in me. And I look at my kids and I forget that they are just even just 18, there is such a thing as only 18. But for us, they need to be done. You know, character is done by 7. So this child needs to be more self-controlled by now. No, not really. And then the math time, to them, achievement's really important. Being number one is important. So it's not about that 90%. It's about how do you compare, you know, are you number one? And also just the idea of making it in life, being successful through achievement. It's very important to the Rose. So they, if they know the child did their best, then that would be good enough. But if they see any slacking or being too relaxed about it, it's going to cause something. And they take responsibility for that. So whether they're good at math or not, they'll sit that child down and go, let's do this. You know, let's. I'm stepping in here. And that is a very positive thing too. Because as a parent who says, I'm not going to blame anybody else. This is my child. I'm going to figure out a way to fix this situation if there's a problem. And they will often be that parent who goes to any form of help until we know what's going on. So they will push through. And very often, very successful people attribute their success to a Rosebush parent who wouldn't let up.
Who do they struggle with, let's say, in the school years, that math time?
The teacher.
Because the teacher's not good enough.
No. The teacher's not good enough and they can do it better. No, just jokes aside, when you talk about the
temperament of the child.
The pine tree who does not need to win, who's not in a hurry, who doesn't feel achievements all that important. So the pine tree's a challenge. And then also the palm tree is constantly joking.
And
taking time out and wanting to have fun before work, and doesn't work well for the Rose.
Is not in a rush. I think Alison and I have both got a bit of Rose in us, and we've got a daughter who I would put as a pine palm. And so she does everything slowly. And with great
pizzazz.
But it can be incredibly frustrating, especially, I mean, it was pouring with rain today, and I am holding the door open for her to get out the car, which always takes about 7 minutes just to
and you're soaking
the seatbelt and observe the inside of the car, outside of the car. And I'm standing outside saying, hurry.
No, they have several steps and we just go straight for the finale. No, definitely. And that's when you are such a hands-on parent who wants stuff to happen, it's so hard. When they are grown up and they're moving on into their own lives, they're getting married, they're into that phase, to see them as an adult now and to step back and to let them make decisions. Because the Rosebush takes all the responsibility, makes the decisions, tells you what to do every day. Now suddenly it's not appropriate any longer. So letting go is the hardest for them. They tend to want to choose your spouse, tell you how to raise your kids, tell you when to come over for dinner and where you're going to be for Christmas. And
the interfering grandparents.
Is hard. Exactly.
Okay. Well, Hetty, I think what we've done is we've hopefully given some hope even in the natural or the sometimes unnatural phases of parenting, and even just understanding where my strengths are and where my weaknesses are can help me just be sometimes intentional about being more patient with my daughter that is the pine palm, and understanding where I might need to step up because I'm too easygoing, and actually these areas in school life where we need to push them a little bit depending on their temperament. So that's been so helpful. But it doesn't just end there. We talk about from unnatural to supernatural. And I think that's an incredible thing about God, is he gives us these natural things that he puts in us. But he also, I think, gives us the unnatural so that we lean into him.
Exactly.
And so we've coined it from unnatural to supernatural. But what is a supernatural parent? So let's talk a bit about that.
I think there's a moment when you've tried everything that you are naturally good at. You've beaten yourself up about the stuff you are unnatural at. And God puts in our way as parents a moment when we come to the end of ourselves. When there is just a parenting moment or a parenting challenge that we just cannot do on our own. And then we realize maybe I was never supposed to be able to do all this by myself. Mm-hmm. And that's where we start moving into supernatural parenting. Supernatural mm-hmm. parenting isn't the same as being super mom or super dad. It's not doing better.
Yeah,
it is handing over.
Letting go to some degree.
Almost giving up sometimes and saying, I can't. Mm. So now what do I do? Now I need other people, other mentors, other adults, other examples, and I need God.
Yeah.
When you say other mentors, are you referring to mentors for you as the parent or mentors for your child, actually?
Definitely
to step in?
Both, but that, to see other adults speak into my children's lives what I've been saying all along and them now hearing it because it comes from a person who connects better with their personality or just says it in the right way or in the right moment. That's in a way humbling. I've been jealous of some of those opportunities other people have had to speak into my child's life, but that is where the supernatural thing comes in. That is where I have to stay back and realize it's not all up to me. I'm not all my child will ever need. But there's a hope in that and a release in that. Oh, I'm not supposed to be everything my child will ever need. And then I breathe a sigh of relief and I go, wow, God wants me to sometimes stay back and let him and let others do something beautiful in my child's life.
So it's not abdicating responsibility. Obviously, we're talking parenting here and we're giving a lot of principles and things that we can do to help grow our kids in a way that brings life and allows them to grow into the destiny that God has for them, but it's not taking all of the responsibility on ourselves. Is that phased as well for kids as well? Because we kind of tend to take, I think, most of the responsibility when they're babies because we're it. And as they grow, they've got other influences from teachers and friends. Or is it throughout our journey we need to be constantly saying, God, you're writing this story too?
We always have to do it. I mean, for me, it started right at the beginning when I realized what a personality clash my first daughter and I had. So from day one, I realized, oh my goodness, some of this is harder than I thought. And I started praying and I started having other people speak into my life and give me advice. So I think the earlier we realize I'm not it,
the better.
And how much does prayer come into this? We speak about prayer in terms of marriage often and just how important it is to pray together. But when we talk about supernatural parenting, this is inviting a supernatural God into the midst of our family.
It's all about talking to the Lord about your kids. It's all about prayer, because this is about saying, naturally, this is what I would do now. Lord, is this is it okay for me to parent from my gut here, or do I need to step out of myself and do it the way you would have done it? And also to pray for those moments when you need to tag the other parent. If you're blessed enough to have a spouse to do this parenting with you, then you have to sometimes just tag.
So recognizing your own strengths and weaknesses on the natural side helps, because you know, okay, this is an area where my natural tendency is probably not the most helpful for the situation. And then you can say, God, you need to give me what I don't have naturally, or give me wisdom enough to say, I'm not the best person for this situation.
Yes, that's exactly what you do. And sometimes we don't feel equipped, but the situation resonates with how we are created. For instance, I'm a natural disciplinarian, and structure created due to my makeup of boxwood combined with rose, or lollipop combined with rose. And there are times when I don't feel like disciplining, but then it's my turn to step up, whether I feel like it or not. Because I know it's less likely that my pine palm husband is going to step up to this particular plate, so let me just do this. And then he's more of a listener. His design corresponds better with the teen years than mine does. So every now and again when there's a problem with our teens, even though I feel like I need to step in there and solve this because that's the responsibility illness of the box rose. So sometimes you step away from what you want to do, and sometimes you step up to what you don't want to, because you know, my script says this is my area. Let me serve my family with my strengths.
Yeah.
If we're talking about supernatural parenting, And if I'm picturing God as a father, what is his ultimate agenda for me as his son?
Yeah. It's such a beautiful perspective change, because now I'm not the only parent in the house anymore. Now God is both my father and a father to my children. So something, yeah. This is where something supernatural happens in the parent's mind is, wait a minute, it's not all up to me. God is a father to my kids.
Yeah.
So I can rest in this very important truth that God writes the family story. He's the father of this family, and he has a journey for us.
Yeah.
It's not all going to be up to me. When God becomes your reference as a parent, then, of course, the standard is so high. I cannot parent like God. How can I possibly do this? And will God only step into my family if I do everything right? And then there's a principle we need to understand, and that is that God's foremost agenda always, whether it's in parenting or in nature or in a ministry that he leads, whatever it is God is doing on the earth, he wants to demonstrate his salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And very often we expect that at church, right? We expect God to preach his salvation. We expect when we go to a Christian conference for us to learn something about salvation. And then we come to our house and there's a normal situation at the dinner table and we don't understand that here too, yeah. God wants to save us.
Mm-hmm.
And God wants to demonstrate what redemption looks like. Mm-hmm. And he does redemption best when there's something to redeem.
Yeah.
And so we bring our broken family to the Lord and we say, here's a struggling marriage, here's a child with a disability, here's a difficult relationship.
Mm.
God wants to bring salvation here to my table, to my car, to this homework situation.
Mm.
And then things change a little bit.
And I think what's an interesting thing to consider is, as you said, he's parenting us and our children. And so some of the situations we find ourselves in within our families, he's teaching us something. And so while we're focused maybe on our kids and what needs to happen, he might be allowing something that's different to our perception of what needs to happen, because he's actually trying to teach us something in terms of that redemption power and his grace.
That's so beautifully said, because he loves writing those redemption stories over those things where we think all is lost.
Yeah.
When you look at the story of Moses, here is a boy who survives a massacre, but he's given to a godless woman to raise.
Mm-hmm.
She's an Egyptian princess. She doesn't even know God.
Yeah.
So I've put my child in a basket, and he's going to grow up as an orphan in a pagan household, completely godless environment. This is a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Moses. And it's a redemption story.
Sure.
And you have Jesus born, at least to people's perception, as an illegitimate child, to a teenager.
Yeah.
And it's a mess. And there's poverty. And there's struggle. And there's a father who never knows exactly what role he needs to play in his son's life. And there's a mom who's a pine tree and doesn't speak up much. She just puts everything in her heart and deals with an unspeakable scenario of knowing from day one your child's going to be killed.
Yeah.
That's all but a perfect family, nuclear family story. I mean, you have sibling rivalry there. You have people denying their brother because they think he's crazy.
Yeah.
His brothers didn't think much of him. And then you have somebody saying, and I'm sure this reached Mary's ears at some point, saying to a crowd, my mother and my brothers are those who do my will. And that's offensive to hear as a mom, your child saying, my real family is actually not necessarily you, mom. There are hurtful things. There are things beyond our understanding. And she must have asked herself if there were things she could have done differently. There's Hannah, who prays for a child and gives him up.
Yeah.
I bet, you know, the moms in the neighborhood went, you know, what was that about? Because she had this co-wife with her who teased her terribly, and they could easily have said, oh, it was just to prove a point. It was just so that the teasing would stop. She clearly, and then still God blesses her with four or five more children as a reward, but still that's also not normal. Yeah. So there are so many family stories that are just not normal. Think Joseph. I mean, there you have sibling rivalry that puts anybody else's household fights to a shame. I mean, killing, wanting to kill, you know, put your Trailing brother in a pit, yeah. and then human trafficking, you know, yeah. happening in your family, yeah. siblings selling one another. It's atrocious.
Yeah.
But it's all about salvation.
Yeah.
And sometimes that salvation doesn't play out as beautifully in your house mm-hmm. as you would like to, but maybe it plays out somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it plays out in Egypt, yeah. you know, figuratively speaking.
Yeah.
But it may look all lost, but yeah. still God.
Mm.
What's the hope that we offer then to parents in that? Because that's a difficult pill to swallow in some respect, you know. So we yes. say God knows the big story, but when the child is being sold into human traffic, maybe we should use yeah. a different example.
Yeah.
But it's hard at that moment to say, no, yes. but this is God's salvation yeah. story.
There's this beautiful phrase in Elizabeth's song, the mother of John the Baptist, where she talks about how God fills burnt out lives with his hope.
Mm.
And it is almost as though she could prophetically see that things wouldn't look like they turned out right. I mean, her son was a weird person
mm-hmm.
who lived in the desert eating locusts and dressed funny
yeah.
and screamed things nobody completely understood and then was beheaded.
Mm.
But she had this knowing that God steps into those areas. And in our life, it may be a child who's on drugs. Mm. It may be a child who decides, I do not believe in God.
Mm.
And this is about a realization that ultimately there are things that fall outside of the sphere of normal parenting where yeah. you need to read a book or attend a course and fix it.
Yeah.
You probably cannot fix it, and yeah. I probably cannot fix it. And this is the area in which we say God fills the burnout life with hope. We quote her song and we say, this is the song I'm going to sing now. I'm going to say, Lord, this is so burnt up that my parenting abilities just don't measure up.
Yeah.
This is God territory.
Mm.
And sometimes we don't get those kids back.
Mm.
And it breaks a parent's heart. But this is where we need to understand that God steps in there with his comfort.
Mm.
He comes in front of such a mom and a dad and he says, number one, it's not your fault. Number two, it's not your responsibility. And number three, I am not untouched by this sadness in your life. I want to walk with you. I want to encourage yeah. you. I want to comfort you through this.
Yeah. Well, Hetty Brits, it's been such a pleasure to have you with us again. And as we close off today, I'd like to ask you to pray for parents out there. We've been using that word hope. So would you pray in a way that brings hope, both to those parents that are just struggling through the normal aspects of parenting and then those that maybe have a broken heart at this point? Will you yes, pray for us?
I'd love to. Lord, today I want to thank you that you are in control of our stories, that you write them, and that you love to write salvation stories, that you love the impossible cases, that you love to prove the critics wrong who say God isn't making any difference in your life. What does it help to pray? What does it help to serve your God? Look at your household, look at your kids, look at your marriage. Lord, we love that we love you for stepping into those situations and saving lives and saving hearts from despair. Lord, thank you that hope lies in us just lifting our eyes a little bit above what we're seeing right in front of us now, whether it's a difficulty in a child or a relationship with a child that's really tough. To just look to the horizon and remember that you take time to transform us and that you speak into our children's lives from other corners and that you can work in their hearts through the Holy Spirit in the secret places where we can't reach and that you can do far more than we can as parents. Lord, we just hold out our kids to you and say, Lord, thank you that you give them a place in the sun. Thank you that you have a future for each and every one. Thank you that in spite of our failures, you can make them turn out wonderful and you can give them a future and a hope. We are so glad that you didn't give us the task and then walked away, but that you are co-parenting with us as our Father and theirs.
Mm.
We praise you for that gift and that hope. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks for being with us, Hetty.
Always a privilege.
As Hetty so beautifully put it, we can rest in the knowledge that we are partners with God in this task of parenting. And the best news is that we have the God of the universe who loves our children more than we can even imagine, making sure that they will have a future and a hope. Hetty's book is called Unnatural Mom, and in it she helps moms to discover that every mother has unique gifts. In Christ, the unnatural mom becomes the supernatural mom who is just right for her family. You'll find Unnatural Mom when you shop online at safamily.co.za or give us a call on 031-716-3300 to order. Thanks for listening in to today's Focus on the Family. I'm Alison Schnell, inviting you back next time when we'll, as always, help you and your family thrive in Christ.